hands to him. We worship you today, and we honor you today. We love you today. You're the reason we are here, and we thank you. We so thank you, God, for everything that you've done, especially the cross, the blood of your son Jesus, the resurrection, and eternal life only through Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Bless the body of Christ in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, what a great day to be together. Amen. Let me ask you a question. Does oil and water mix? Sorry, what was that? Not a lick. Well, some would say that, right? Chemists would say that oil and water doesn't mix too well. But I'll tell you what. When God is in the mix, things mix up really well, right? Things mix up really, really well. And I think we're going to see a little bit about oil and water this morning as we look into God's Word. I'd like to bring just a few moments this morning of encouragement for us and invite you to turn to Psalm 133. As we think of spending the last couple of years together as two bodies coming together, we just keep talking about two bodies coming together, but at some point in the very near future, I hope that we are going to be talking about, hey, we're just one. But I know that it takes our minds a bit of a process to get to that point of just accepting that, hey, we're 2-1, without looking at the history all the time. But you know what? History is important too, because we came from different places, and God has produced something new out of two separate entities, and that's exciting. That is just thrilling, very thrilling. I could say this morning that, God has brought us together as churches, but it began before the flood. And I could say that it really was a coffee time that Pastor Mark and I had early on. He had been in the community for a couple of years, I think, or so. And then I was scoping out the land down here, pursuing what was a potential call for me to come down to River Park Church. And so got together for coffee, and we enjoyed that coffee together. And I came away from that coffee time after hearing Pastor Mark's heart for the community and for the people of Christ the King Church. And I came away from that coffee time thinking, Lord, I love this guy. His heart is so deep for the people of Medicine Hat, for this community, for the people of Christ the King Church. And he cares about River Park Church and their selection of a pastor too. I could say that the merger was beginning then already. But really, I think we'd have to go even further back. Perhaps even before the foundations of the world were laid. God knows all things. He knew before the foundation of the world took place that one day the river that he hadn't yet created would flood in Medicine Hat. And out of that, his desire was two separate entities to become one body. That's exciting. That's exciting. But as we look at Psalm 133, there are some clues in how we continue to live as a merged, as a amalgamated family together. I'm just going to read through it, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation where it says this. It's a Psalm of David. These are beautiful words. He says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. Brothers and sisters, when family, when people live together in harmony, right? It's a wonderful thing. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil. Another word, probably a lot of your translations will say unity, when people live together in unity or harmony. For harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. Three verses with a lot packed in there, and I'm going to try and unpack it in just a couple of minutes this morning. First of all, take note. Unity or harmony. David said, it's how wonderful and pleasant it is when people live together in harmony. I think he's highlighting that because if you think about it in our world today, harmony and unity is a very rare commodity. It doesn't happen very often. We look at our political systems, we look at businesses, we look at relationships, even right home in the family, and even in churches at times. Harmony and unity is a rare occurrence. Unfortunately, it's a sad thing when it happens within the body of Christ. And yet, when it happens, amazing things take place. Amazing things take place when harmony exists. I remember a few years ago, 1980, I was singing in a quartet. Four of us fellows from Bible college struck off, and we went on a little tour after we graduated that spring. We went through different places in Alberta and British Columbia, and on one of our jumps from one place to another, we stopped at Radium Hot Springs. You've been there. It's a beautiful place to sit and enjoy some hot, soaking mineral water. As we were doing so, the place was packed. It was a beautiful day. People everywhere. One of us, I don't remember who it was, said, hey, let's sing a little bit. We got to practice anyways. So we're sitting there standing there in the beautiful hot water, and we begin to sing some of our songs in harmony, four-part harmony. And as we began to sing, something happened. No, the pool didn't clear out. Because actually our harmony was pretty tight because we practiced and practiced and practiced and practiced. But as we sang in harmony that day, that afternoon, the blending of our voices together, suddenly people began to come around us. And soon there were quite a few people that had stopped their conversations and came and stood close, and they heard. And after the first song, all of a sudden we heard this applause. And we kind of look up and, oh, there's an audience. So they said, well, sing some more, sing some more. So we sang several songs. And after we sang those several songs and we figured it was time to stop getting attention and move on, what happened? Several people came over and began talking to us. And one gentleman in particular came over and he just began pouring out the needs in his life. He began pouring out his heart, the brokenness in his own heart, to us four young guys. Well, the songs that we were singing were all about Jesus, all about his kingdom, all about hope and life in Jesus Christ. And you know what? When there's true harmony, people are attracted. If there's a dissenting, weird chord going on, people go, ah, I think I'm going to back out of here. I don't want to hear that anymore. Harmony is so important, but it's so rare. And that's why we need to guard it and keep it and exploit it, but do our best to keep in harmony one with another within this body of Christ and all of the other bodies of Christ around this city. We need to be in tighter harmony with every body of believers in Medicine Hat so that what's going out from all of the churches is in synchronized harmony. That the community around us, the world around us, is not getting a mixed message. But that we've got one voice together, all different parts expressing ourselves differently, but all in sync with the Holy Spirit, with what He wants to say to the world around us. So harmony is quite important. It's very important. And then he talks about the anointing oil that was poured from Aaron's head down through his beard and onto the border of his robe. And that's talking about the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron when he was likely installed as the high priest. That was an incredibly important position that God had given to Aaron. And that anointing oil was very costly as well. It was precious, very precious. And so as that oil was poured out, in this case, the imagery is that there wasn't just a little bit of drops, a few drops of oil. It was poured out. So much so that it soaked his head, soaked his face, his beard, and just continued to soak his garments right down to the hem of his garments, his robe. God wants to pour out his lavishness upon his people. The Holy Spirit, his gifts, his presence, he wants to just pour himself out. He wants to let himself loose over his people and anoint us over and over and over and over again. That oil would have been fragrant. It would have been a beautiful fragrance. And again, you know something? When you have that beautiful fragrance, it creates its own atmosphere. When you are in close proximity with someone who is wearing some really nice aftershave, you know, or perfume, you notice it, and it makes a difference. It creates an atmosphere. And when people are working together in harmony, it changes the atmosphere. It changes the literal atmosphere. You can feel it. It's tangible, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's attractive again. Here's something else to think about. The pouring of the oil over Aaron's head was top down. The effects were top down. And as God has blessed our coming together as churches, as pastors, we began discussions. And then we had discussions with our boards. And then we began talking with the rest of the body. Unity and harmony is a top-down experience. As leadership goes, so goes the church. As leadership in the home goes, so go the children and the rest of the family. As leadership goes in any organization, so the flavor of that organization is picked up and people recognize it and run with it. And again, I just mentioned that I loved getting to know Pastor Mark, and I still love Pastor Mark, right? It's kind of an ongoing thing, and that's a good thing. And then when Pastor Ken and Carol came on the scene, and as I got to engage them, I didn't know them very well before, but as I've gotten to know their hearts, there's a deep fatherly, spiritual fatherly love and compassion and wisdom that just comes out of him in our meetings, and we appreciate that so much. And then Pastor Randy and Ida come on the scene, and they become part of the mix as well. And it's easy to love Pastor Randy and his wife Ida. And through all of that, there's definitely a love and an ethos of unity amongst us as pastors. And we know that as we meet together with our board meetings, it's a unique experience. We enjoy one another. We can laugh with each other, tease each other. And that just runs down into everybody. And as we've gotten to know each other's congregations and now one congregation, we love you folks. And we see the love that you have one for another and how you bless each other and believe the best in and for each other. And then I've got to move on. It talks about, David talks in here about the harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And Pastor Randy mentioned that. Where does the river come from? Well, it comes from the mountains. It comes from glaciers in the mountains and the snow and the rain and the runoff and all of that, plus the runoff from the prairies that come into the river through the little tributaries as well. But in that area, Mount Hermon was a place where there would be snow and there would be rain coming down. There would be dew, so to speak. And that would come down from the mountain, and it would travel a long ways. But everywhere that water would go, it would bring life for plants, animals. It would mean sustenance for villages and towns that were planted nearby the water. It meant life. And it's the same way when there is unity amongst us as believers. There's life. There's sustenance. We like to stay near that river. We like to park ourselves because we know it's a life-giving source, and so we need to continue to do whatever we can to pull that unity and that harmony out of one another and bless each other. Make it happen. Be refreshing to one another on a regular basis. And we have to guard that unity closely. Do whatever we can humanly with the power of God to keep close together, even through times of disagreement. We still want to love each other and bless each other. Taking the illustration from marriage, from Mark chapter 10, verse 9, we know that we are the bride of Christ, right? We are the bride of Christ. And as a bride of Christ, we want to remain pure and well and in harmony, in sync with one another, as the Lord is coming soon. And until that time, we need to continue to work on being the bride of Christ. What does Jesus say about the illustration of being a bride? He says, a man and woman are united into one, and since they are no longer two but one, let no person split apart what God has joined together. Can we say amen to that? That we will guard the unity, that we will bless one another, and that we will speak only words of blessing, not words of cursing to one another. We will be positive. We will be uplifting. We will be forgiving. We will be gracious. We will be kind and generous with one another so that we can be that bride that Jesus is proud to come and take at that time of his coming. That's who we need to be. And then John 17 reminds us, Jesus in his high priestly prayer, he says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. And that's us today. I pray that they will be, all will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe that you sent me. Did you hear that? That we will be one together and with the Lord and with the Father and with the Spirit so that the world will believe that he has sent, that Jesus was sent into this world. That's so important. Whenever we allow discord or disharmony or dissension, we're giving in to something that is ungodly, unspiritual, and of the devil. It does not represent Christ and his kingdom. So let us make sure that our actions and activities with one another represent that high priestly prayer, that we are actually answering and experiencing the answer to Jesus' prayer that we are one, that we are unified, that we are in harmony with one another. Speaking of a blending, in John 19:34, when Jesus was on the cross and after his physical life, his physical breath was breathed out of him, it says that a soldier took a spear and put the spear into his side, and what came out? But water and blood flowed, mingled together. Blood and water flowing together. Not oil and water, but blood and water. And we're reminded that the blood of Jesus is our salvation. It's our forgiveness. It's our eternal life. It's our cleansing. And water is a symbol of washing and life and sustenance. We have in the life of Jesus everything we need for life and godliness. And in 1 Peter 1:22, and I'll close with this, it says that you were cleansed, and all of us who are believers today and have the Holy Spirit residing within us, it says you were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth, so now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart. We get to do this. We get to do this because the love of God is in us. Bless you today as we celebrate coming together, and we look forward to days, weeks, months, and years ahead until the Lord returns or takes us home of working well together for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the growth of his kingdom here in Medicine Hat and around the world. Bless you. Pastor Mark.
Exodus 15:13 says, in your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Isn't that a beautiful picture of what God has done? Let me read it again. In your unfailing love, you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength, you will guide them to your holy dwelling. Isaiah 55:6-10 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. This is a word for us today. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. As Pastor Larry was sharing, a thought just struck me. And yes, we are celebrating these two parts of the body that have come together, because there truly is only one body in Medicine Hat. But something else struck me, and I'm going to ask a few questions this morning. Just came to me. How many of you, and I want you to lift your hand, come from a, and I don't like labels because there is only one body, but how many of you come from a more Pentecostal background? Lift your hand. Come on, lift your hand high. Okay. How many come from a Catholic background? Lift your high. Look at that. Wow. How many from a Lutheran background? Well, isn't this interesting? How many come from like evangelical free? Are there any evangelical? Look at that. How many Nazarene folk have we got here? Lift your hand. Look at over here. Isn't this interesting? How many from the former River Park? Don't be so shy. Okay, and let me think here. How many from something I didn't mention? Lift your hand. Wow. This isn't two parts of the body coming together. This is the body of Christ. Say amen. Can we give our Lord a hand? Wonderful. This is the body of Christ. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. I'm extremely thankful for that. You heard me a few weeks ago say that I continue to try and bring God down to this level. But no, we must take the word and we must come up to God's level. His ways aren't our ways. Romans says, who has the mind of God? But the scripture does say that we have the mind of Christ. And so it's amazing to think that there isn't one person here this morning that could have scripted the plans of God, the coming together of multiple bodies, really, but two separate parts of the body. God, we could never have scripted what God had planned. And so the scripture tells us that those who are led by the Spirit are sons of God. We trust in our hearts so strongly that we have been led by God's Spirit. And how many of you know that God often doesn't reveal the next step in our lives, in our family, in our church? How many of you are aware of that? This morning was so interesting because I'll confess to you today, I was wrestling with coming up with just a word of encouragement and this celebration service, and I was wrestling with it, and so I've learned over the years to just leave that with the Holy Spirit, and I had put notes together, and I was up early this morning, and as I was walking through this, and that God's ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts, it occurred to me, that's the mystery of God. That's the mysterious side of God. And so I put in my notes here, I love that about God. I love the mysterious in God. And the Lord said to me, do you? Wow. But you know what? I do. I love that about Him because, and he said, and He's going to say this to the church, enjoy the future that I have for you. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. How many want to be prosperous? Plans to give you a hope and a future. That scripture has meant so much to us. But the mystery of God is such that none of us could have scripted these two churches becoming one. I remember speaking with someone from the city, just bumped into them, and they said, hey, is it true that your church and River Park are working on like being one? I said, yes, yes, we're working towards merging these two churches. I said it was just the leading of the Lord. It was not out of, in the sense, need. It was the leading of the Lord. And it's just, it's about God's kingdom. It's his kingdom. And this person got this confused look on their face. And they said, well, but you're from two different streams. Of which I looked very confused back at him. I have sometimes that look, you know, and I went, what are you talking about? I said, there's only one river. It's the river of God. There is only one. And you know, yes, we have these all throughout the city, these expressions of God throughout our city. I've come to enjoy those expressions more than I used to. That's an admittance. I've come to realize that as long as the expression is lifting up Jesus Christ as Lord, God has all these beautiful parts of the body of Christ throughout the city, throughout our country, and throughout the world, and they express the glory of God. I've come to appreciate expressions of worship and different forms as long as it's lifting up Jesus Christ. God is amazing. He's mysterious. He's wonderful. Now, Pastor Larry and I did not compare notes. And I put in my scripture or my notes here this morning, this scripture. Are you ready? How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Don't you love the Holy Ghost? Just speaking. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. You heard me last week say that the greatest change that I believe all of us could have is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. This is not just a merging together of two parts of the body. I want you for a moment to think, and this hit me so strong this morning. We have the privilege. Do you realize you have the privilege? We've had the privilege as shepherds. We couldn't have scripted this. We have the privilege of being part of something that is absolutely of God. Think about it. You're here. You're part of this. You have been part of something that is of God. I'm sure at times you wondered and you questioned and you thought, boy, what's happening? So did we. But God had it together. God was in charge. We just continued to trust God. But there's something about this. And this two words came into my spirit this morning. This is a holy convocation. This is holy. This is precious. This is God. And we use scriptures today to explain the fatherhood of God and Abba Father and the closeness of God, the longing of what he has, he wants relationship with us. We use those things. But I'd like to do something just for a moment. Would you stand, please? Just for a moment. This is a holy moment, church. This is holy. And God is still God. He is Father, but he's also God. And he's holy. And he's just. And folks, church, we get to be a part of something that is holy and beautiful. For one moment, Let's just be quiet before God. This is a holy convocation. You may be seated. This is a precious, precious moment. God ordained this, and we're very thankful that we heard and that we followed the voice of His Spirit. This is about His family, God's family, His church. This is about His kingdom. And it's about the message of the kingdom. This is about the cross. See, it's far more than two parts of the body becoming one. It's about the message of the gospel. Amen, church? The hope of the gospel. It's about the message of salvation. We must never forget that. Let me give you this charge, that this is what we are called to. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is an amazing moment. And church, I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a whole lot more amazing moments. Amen. A whole lot more. So I want to give thanks today, first of all, to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to our God, to the Holy Spirit. If you would have told me that I'd have been here 20 years ago, standing in front of you beautiful people, I would have said somebody's lost their marbles. I'm here. Wow. Larry thinks I lose my marbles daily. But I found them for this morning. So I first of all want to thank Pastor Larry and Terry. And we know Terry's away looking after her parents in Manitoba right now and all that involves. And so, Larry, thank you for that first phone call. Thank you for that coffee at Tim Hortons. Thank you for your faithfulness, your heart, your desire, hearing the Holy Spirit, smacking me upside the head once in a while, and loving me. Thank you. Pastor Ken and Carol, thank you for your incredible words of wisdom. You're just that steady force, that solidness. I'm so thankful that we obeyed the Lord, and when He spoke to me about bring Pastor Ken and bring him on staff, and I said, yes, sir, Lord, I will do that. You've been both to this entire church such a blessing. Amen? Amen. Such a blessing. And Randy and Ida, thank you for coming and joining us and just being part of this team. We so appreciate you. And even though you have the nicest office in the building, we appreciate you. We're not bitter. But thank you so much. Let me say this. Both churches now one. So many people that used to be part of River Park poured their life into that work. We applaud you today. Amen? We applaud you today. In whatever form and former Christ the King. You poured your blood, sweat, and tears into this work. 11 years ago, Pastor Keith, this November, you came to this building with a group of people. Isn't that something? 11 years ago. And the River Park, a 100-and-some-year-old church. We honor you. We honor you. Say amen. We honor you. Because we would not be at this place if it was not for that. But history will not move us forward. We must move on to the new things God has for us. But I honor you. I thank you. I thank you for your open hearts. I thank you for your willingness from both churches. But there's not two here anymore. There's just one. We're one church. We're River Valley Community Church. I want to thank our board of deacons. I'm going to name them. Norbert Kleiber, Rod DeVries, Val Hadwin, Chris Marsnick, Lori Earle, Kevin Schimpf, Aaron Brost, George Wilcox, and Dennis Ritz. Would you give them a hand, please? Amazing what they've done. I want to honor them. Thank you. Thank you. For we just pushed through with God and trusted Him, and thank you. And most importantly, of course, Jesus. But I'm going to say this, and I want everyone once more to stand, and I see our mayor is not here yet, so we're going to stand and greet one another in a moment, okay? So let's stand together. So we give Jesus praise, but I'm going to say this. To you, the church, the saints, the body of Christ, that's who you are. This is holy, folks. This is special. The body of Christ, the ecclesia, the Greek says, the called out ones, the redeemed, priests, co-heirs with Christ. That's all of us, amen. That's us. Thank you for your patience, walking with us, believing in what God has done and how God has led us. Thank you. Would you lift your hands? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you much peace. And we all said, amen and amen. I see our mayor is here, but would you greet one another in the name of the Lord very quickly? And then I'll have Pastor Larry come and introduce. Just say hello very quickly.
Into the lawyers and the government, and so all of our general law. We'll just have you up at the front, okay? If that's okay. I think we may as well make our way up there, and people won't recognize when we're ready to start again.
Well, friends, if we could gather together again for a moment, we'll continue on. You know, as we have invited our Mayor Ted Clugston to be here this morning, we really appreciate, let's give him a hand. We realize that you're a very busy individual and you have a lot of responsibility with the city, so we so much appreciate you taking just a few moments to come and be with us this morning. That means a lot to us. We really appreciate that. And I usually, you know, before I make an introduction for someone like yourself, someone in an important position in our city, I usually go over in my mind and I rehearse and I practice introducing you. And almost every time in my mind, what came out was, and now I'd like to introduce to you Pastor Ted Clugston. So maybe it's because normally in my circles it's pastors that I introduce, but I thought of that. You know, you are the mayor of our city. You are a kind of a shepherd for people within our city. And we know that you have a heart for not only the homeless, but for every person in our city, for the well-being of people within our city. So I'm going to turn this over to you. Welcome, Pastor Ted Clugston.
Thank you. That's a great honor that I didn't earn, but thank you. I'm sorry, I was running a little late. I've been to about 6 or 7 charity events this weekend alone, and I was going to apologize for wearing jeans, but then I see that everybody else is, so I'm okay. I was at the Terry Fox Run this morning, which is it was the 36th annual Terry Fox Run, and I think all of us know how important that was and how important fundraising for cancer. Some of you are probably very aware that I've just lost my brother to complications from cancer, so it was important. And I just want to say that I go to a lot of events, and I go to a lot of charity events, and of course spend a lot of time in a lot of different churches. And what a great thing it is that you have come together and merged and found this home together. I get 3 years post. And, sometimes I always like to find, I'm a little hypoglycemic, I haven't had anything to eat today, and I was at a run, that you've come together, and I always like to try to find silver linings in whatever tragedies or disasters there are. And, of course, the flood was a terrible, terrible event, yet your two churches were right at the ground zero, helping out, feeding people, doing whatever it took to, and really much totally unsung heroes, really, and to look after this community, So I'm now very proud to say that, this city council, it's been talked about for hundreds of years, actually, 100 years, that this city council had the courage to berm this area at great expense without the help of the province. We went forward with it. Now the province has got on board a little bit lately. But now we can almost now, rather than fear the river, which has ironically or brought you together, now we can celebrate the river down here, and you're safe in this home. You should be safe for a very, very long time. So that's one of the things I like to talk about and finding silver linings. And obviously, you have found one by merging these churches together. So congratulations. And on behalf of myself and the rest of City Council, all the best. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor Clugston. Those are great words, very encouraging words for us. Can I ask us all to stand together, and we're gonna just pray for our mayor this morning. What a privilege it is to do this in person with you. Father in heaven, we thank you for our city. We thank you for our council. We thank you for those who, through the decisions, the voting of the populace, has put people into place to serve the greater interests of this city. And we thank you for our mayor this morning, for Ted Clugston. We pray, Father, for your great wisdom and understanding to be given to him day by day, as he is part of the decision-making process for so many things around our city. Father, we pray that you would give him courage within those decision-making times. that you will help him to choose the right path and the best path, and to champion those things that are important for our city, from the what we would call the least of the people of the city to the greatest of the city. Father, your heart is for all of them, and we recognize today that our mayor's heart is for every person of the city. And so, Father, we pray that you will also give him all of the energy, physical resources, mental resources, relational resources, financial resources that he needs for his own well-being, for the well-being of his children and his wife and family. Father, we pray that you would just encourage him day by day. And we pray that we as citizens of this city would make it easy for our mayor and the council to give governance over us, that we would be part of the solutions and not creating problems, that you would help us to encourage and lift up our mayor and our council members on a very regular basis, that they might be able to have everything that they need for giving good governance in this city. And Father, thank you again for Mayor Clugston. We pray your blessing on him, your richest blessing at every level. And we pray, Father, that he will feel loved by the city, that by the people of this city, that his legacy will be one where people will look to him and be proud and thank him for his contribution to each individual here. Thank you, Father. We pray your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again. Thank you so much. Bless you. You may be seated.
Well, at this time, I'm going to call Pastor Keith. Would you come at this time? And Gerhard Brost, if you would come at this time. They're going to pray a blessing over the unity of these churches. So I am going to ask you to stand again. Thank you.
I'm just taking a moment to look it all over, Pastor. Is that all right? I want to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for all that you are doing and have done in this body here, and that you will yet do by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, may there be many signs of your mighty power through the healing of bodies and through the salvation of souls by the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, thank you for all that you've done and all that you will yet do. And we stand in the power of your name, and we stand in the blessing of your presence, and that your blessing will rest upon all that give leadership and all that do ministries in this church, from the simplest of them, what we may think are simple, but you know, Lord, and to those who we may think are doing the greatest ministry. We think that of our pastoral staff and directors. So blessings on them. We thank you for them and for their strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, you are so good. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. We adore you. We love you for all the good things you've done for us. And Father, we just thank you for the history of these two churches. That way back in 1907, someone, your people, planted a church over in the corner of Allowance and Bramer Street. And thank you for the folks that came together here as Christ the King Assembly, Lord. And just thank you that we now are together as one church. Father, I thank you for our pastors. We thank you that we have Spirit-filled pastors that are led by the Spirit, Lord, and that lead us into all truth. I thank you for that. And Father, I just pray as we, Lord, we are so excited to look at the future as a church together. We're so excited about what you're going to do. And Father, we just pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would be here all the time. Your presence would be here. Father, I just pray that at these altars, people would find salvation every week. And Father, I just pray those who come for prayer at this altar, that they would be healed, whether it's a sore back or knees or joints or cancer or heart disease, whatever it is, Father, we just pray that people would be healed as they come to this altar. We just thank you for what you're going to do. And it's just, Father, I just pray, bless this church. I just pray, increase our unity. Let this unity overflow, not just in this church, but into the community, into the River Valley, and into all of Medicine Hat, Father, that people will know that there's a God in heaven who loves them. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you both so much. Thank you.